Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online at thisweekinamerica.us. From Despair to Hope and Healing is a collection of poetry written over two decades by author Barbara Mezra. It chronicles the journey of a woman struggling to keep her depression under control, searching for meaning in her job, her career, her family, and her relationships. Her poems are both personal and universal. Her hope is that her words may touch and help others who are facing struggles as she has. Barbara was born in southwestern Wisconsin. Growing up on a farm, earned her master's degree in clinical laboratory science and in special education. She teaches special needs high school students. Barbara Mezra, author of From Despair to Hope and Healing, One Woman's Journey in Poem, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
This really is an important book that you put together, a book of poetry, and you really want to help other people, and I'm sure they have been and will continue to be inspired by what you've written. As I mentioned, let's go back and talk about how this whole project began, and I assume it probably didn't even begin as a book. What, over two decades ago, you started a sort of what keeping a journal of poetry. Why did you start that, and why poetry?
I'm not sure why poetry, because sometimes the poems just kind of fell on the page, and that seemed to be the best way to express myself. I started writing when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do for a career. The medical technology field had changed a lot, and I had some health issues that were kind of affecting my ability to do some things in that field. And so I was kind of looking around. So I had read somewhere that, you know, if you write stuff down, it probably makes more sense. And so I kind of just started with that. And then when I was finally diagnosed with depression and was in therapy for that, the poems, the writings was a way that I could express myself, because I really struggled to talk. I'm shy and an introvert, so talking wasn't my forte by any means, but I could write well. So that's kind of how it came about. And as I slowly shared a few of my poems with people besides my therapist, they kept saying, you need to publish, you need to publish. And so it took me about 7-8 years before I decided, okay, maybe I should look into this publishing thing and put it out there. If it really is touching people that much, maybe it does need to be published.
Barbara Mezra, our guest on the program. She's the author of From Despair to Hope and Healing, One Woman's Journey in Poem. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Also, you can link on directly to information on her book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's interesting because you talk about so many facets of your life, and the name of the book is From Despair to Hope and Healing, One Woman's Journey. Let's talk about the despair. What was life like back at that time when you started writing the poems? You talked about depression, and this is something that what goes back to, I think you were 9 years old when you first realized that you were suffering from depression.
Yes, my fourth grade teacher pulled me out of the recess line one day and asked me why I was so sad. And of course, I didn't put anything together at that time. And back in the mid-60s, you know, you didn't diagnose kids with depression like they do these days, because the knowledge just wasn't there. When I was 16, I was suicidal. I had a whole plan figured out, and it would have been fatal if I'd have carried it out. And so from 16 to about 30, I really kind of struggled with the ups and downs. If I did a lot of exercise, played a lot of sports, racquetball, softball, volleyball, I could keep myself up pretty well. But there were times in my life where, because of health issues, I couldn't do those things. And then I started treating it with alcohol. And finally, in 1987, I was diagnosed with depression, major clinical depression, and I was put on some meds, and some worked, some didn't. And it took about another almost 10 years before I finally found had a medication regime that actually worked for me. And during that time, I'd been in therapy, and we used my writing a lot in therapy because it was a way I could express what was going on, the ups, the downs, the bad times. And then some of the poems, like I say, they just kind of fell on the page and expressed what I wanted to say in a few words and created a picture, a lot of them do.
Yes, they really do. Barbara Mezra, our guest in the program, From Despair to Hope and Healing, One Woman's Journey in Poetry is in Poem, is the guest information at our website. You can buy the book at bookventure.com. Book's available at Amazon as well. The book, in the poetry is sometimes dark. Talk about that, and we'll get to the hope and the healing part of it here in a second, but get to those parts where they are somewhat dark. When you deal with depression and that, what was that? Was that painful, or was it therapeutic to go back and to write about that?
It was both, and I kind of wrote these while I was in it. So it's a kind of a snapshot of where I was at that time. Like the poem called The Spark, I realized at one point that it really doesn't take much to make me get up the next day and try to have some more hope that it is going to get better, and it eventually did. The first section is the darkest section in the poem because it's about the Big D, as I like to call him. And there were times where I thought, okay, I'm doing really well, and then I would cycle back down again. And there were times I was ready to give up again. But my therapist said to me, well, when you don't have hope, I'll have hope for you. And then that's kind of when I realized it really doesn't take that much hope just to get up the next morning and go through another day and just take it one day at a time. And I still try to live my life just one day at a time and not get sucked so much into the negative. There was abuse in my background. There was, you know, most people have some kind of negative in their background. And I decided I'd share mine because it was a way of not letting it just sit inside and keep festering.
Well, yeah.
A way to release it and move it on.
What is that like for you when you are able through your words to impact other people who are going through, have gone through exactly what you went through, and now they find hope because they can relate to you? You've been there and you've been able to survive it. How does that make you feel when you actually, your words are helping other people?
I sometimes have trouble believing that my words really are that powerful. But in the last 2 to 3 years, I've realized that, yeah, maybe they really are, and maybe I need to be more open about sharing more of it with people. And it's rewarding because you know you've touched somebody. Maybe you gave them just enough hope for them to go through the next day, to go through the next week, and just take it one day at a time and realize that other people have been there. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm not all that unique. Maybe the most unique thing was I had the courage or whatever to put the poetry out there to do the book and to hope it does have an impact, a positive one on people.
One of the goals that you had in writing the book was that you had this glimmer of hope that someday you would fit in. At what point did you start feeling like I can contribute, I do have something of value, and I am starting to fit in now and enjoying life more than I was doing before? Was there a point, or was this a transformation that you got to the point where you could actually see that light at the end of the tunnel?
It was a long process, and it was a transformation. In the process, I changed careers from working in a clinical laboratory to becoming a special ed teacher, and my first job as a special ed teacher was not a good fit for me. And I don't know if I wasn't the person they wanted or what the issue was. And it was, some of it was just experience, and I made some rookie mistakes that were, you know, in a different situation may have been overlooked. And then from there, I was down in the Madison, Wisconsin area, and from there I moved to a rural district. And that's kind of where I started to feel like I was fitting in. And that was about 14 years ago. And part of it was the first job I had where people weren't telling me, you're too quiet, you're too quiet. And I got so sick of hearing that in high school and college and for the next 10 or 15 years. And so that was really freeing, that all of a sudden I wasn't so quiet. And maybe I wasn't so quiet because the depression was under control.
Barbara Mezra, our guest in the program, author of From Despair to Hope and Healing, The One Woman's Journey in Poem. The book is available at bookventure.com in the bookstore. You'll find it at Amazon. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to information. Barbara's last name is spelled M-E-Z-E-R-A. And again, if you can't remember all of that, just go to the website, and you can link on directly, get information on the book. You go from despair to hope and healing. Hope and healing, are those two separate steps that you take, or does one lead directly into the other?
I think one leads into the other. I think you have to have enough hope to believe that healing can take place. And then you just kind of keep the process going and keep looking for the good. And you learn not to focus so much on the negative. When a bad thing happens, I don't have to spend a lot of time redoing it in my mind and saying, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. I mean, everybody still does that at some point. But I used to do it to such an extreme that I would just throw myself back into the depression. And now I look at the other side of it. I'm more apt to say, okay, yeah, I messed up there. Do I need to apologize to somebody, or do we just move forward? And I don't have to spend that whole evening or night after school thinking about what I messed up, because we all mess up. And I can think, okay, what could I have done differently? Next time I'll try something different and move on and not get so stuck.
You mentioned that you're an introvert. One of the problems you had when you were a teenager was that you were quiet, you would shut down, and that was part of the depression that you were battling at the time. When you write the poetry, that's one thing, but when you start sharing it as you're doing now and going on programs and talking about it and talking about it publicly, this really took you outside of your comfort zone, didn't it? And what's that been like?
I'm way outside my comfort zone. So sometimes it's kind of scary. And sometimes I'm a bit of a risk taker, too, as one of the poems in the shy section say. And because I've done some things that you wouldn't typically think a shy person would do, like travel alone. You know, I'll meet up with a group where I don't know anybody on a bike trip or a trip to Peru. And I'll do fine. You know, I might be the quietest one in the group, but that's okay for me now. I can accept that part of me and say, you know, that's okay.
In the book,
a lot of people give the life of the party, and it's okay if I'm not.
Well, and somebody has to laugh at the people that think they are the laugh of the part, the one that's, you know, the funny person, the life of the party, and somebody has to do that. So many poems in the book, interesting, counseling is one that's at the beginning of the book. And it's interesting you point out that it only works if the counselee wants it. Talk about that, because that line sort of jumps out as you read that. I mean, counseling, and you said you went through like 10 years before you started seeing results with the depression. That's not magic, is it? It's something you have to participate in.
It's not magic, and you have to participate in it. And if you're not willing to, and I wasn't to start with, because I thought they would just want to change who I am. And I knew that wasn't possible. We're all born with a certain temperament, a certain way of seeing the world and being in the world. And some of that is just the core of who people are, and they can't change that. You know, you can't take an extrovert and turn them into me. You can't take me and turn me into an extrovert. And it took me a long time to figure that out. And once I figured that out, and I had a therapist who accepted my quietness, even when it made her uncomfortable, then I could make progress. Then I could move forward. I could share my story, and I could get better. I could start the healing process. I had hope now that I could do this, and I wouldn't have to be stuck in this dark pit of depression for the rest of my life.
You know, something that I think is a universal situation, and you talk about it in the poem Crash, is letting other people down. In this particular case, you're talking about your students. And one line, right now, I feel like I'm failing them. Talk about that and getting to that point where you not only feel like you're letting yourself down, but now you're starting to, it's impacting others as well.
And I think that's part of the healing, too, because when it's just about me, you can only go so far. But when you start realizing what your actions can have and the effects they can have on others, then, at least for me, I started seeing differently. I started seeing what my potential suicide would have done to my family, And I couldn't do that to the people I love and the people that love me. And I think I say that in a poem somewhere, too.
Yes. The book we're talking about is From Despair to Hope and Healing, One Woman's Journey in Poem. Barbara Mezara, our guest on the program. Book's available at bookventure.com at the bookstore. Available, of course, at Amazon. You can link on, get all the information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple minutes left in the program. Hope and Despair, or Hope and Healing. Let's talk about that. One poem in there is a joyful poem, July 25th, 1986. Talk about that.
That was the birth of my first nephew, and it was my little brother's son, and my little brother and I are pretty close. And I was just thrilled for him and his wife. And I was thrilled to have a new little guy to love.
And you express that in the poem, and we see all of the range of emotions that you've gone through, from despair to hope and healing. One of the sections in the book deals with health, and it's called Health Matters Too. Talk about that, because if you're just worried about the mental part of it and you let the physical part go, that's probably counterproductive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all interconnected, and it's interesting. In my story, when I was just finishing my master's degree in special ed when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and that also has a depression, as most chronic illnesses do. So that was just, to me, that was just another slap in the face, but it was like I was far enough along in the healing process then to know that I didn't have to let that, you know, be a slap in the face. I could just deal with it and move on.
Are you still writing?
Some, yes.
Will there be a follow-up book? Are you still basically
I'm
journaling and poem?
I don't know where I want to go with the follow-up book. Right now, school year just started, and it's crazy, and I had to take a summer school class so I could teach a medical terminology class for dual credit for my students. So might be another book down the road sometime, yes.
Well, you've touched a lot of people with what you've done with the first book, and I want to, about 30 seconds here, when I talk about what you're doing now, which is teaching special needs high school students. Talk about that and the satisfaction you get from that, and the fact that you probably are very good at that because you understand where these children are coming from. You know what they're going through at this age of their lives.
In a way that most people don't. In fact, I have a reputation at the district that I'm the EBD whisperer, EBD meaning the emotional behavioral disability students, because they don't have to act up in my room. They know they're accepted. You know, I talk some about, you know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes too. And the most rewarding thing is when you meet them on the street corner and they thank you for what you did 3 or 4 years ago, because now they're graduated and have a decent paying job and starting a family. And so that's pretty special.
It certainly is. And that glimmer of hope that someday you'd fit in, you fit in. You touch people like that on a daily basis, touching people all across the country that you don't even know because they've read the book and been able to get inspiration from it. The book is From Despair to Hope and Healing, One Woman's Journey in Poem. Barbara Mezara, our guest in the program. That's Mezera. Book's available at bookventure.com at the bookstore. You'll find it at Amazon as well. Link on directly to those sites by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Barbara, thank you so much. I know you're out of your comfort zone doing something like this. I appreciate you stepping out of it for a half an hour, joining us on the program. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. Once again, the book is From Despair to Hope and Healing, One Woman's Journey in Poem. Barbara Mezara, our guest. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on the program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.